This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Inna alhamdulillahi na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa natubu ilayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا أما بعد Ikhwani, Akhawati, dear brothers and sisters, I would like to talk today about some of our affairs, some of our issues in our community. And this is something that is extremely important because it has to do with a family unit. And when we talk about these issues, we're trying to help our families. We're trying to solve our problems. Because when the family is safe, when it is strong, we'll end up having a strong community, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. When we are able to save our marriages and keep people together and keep families together, we will keep our community strong, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And everything happens with His will, with His assistance, with His help. We're just humans trying to do our work, trying to do our homework. In the last summer, July and August, I was traveling. When I came back, I was able to keep track on something. I came back August 15, and I was trying to look at the issues that I was forced to deal with because I didn't have a choice. From August 15 till August 19, within 5 days or 4 days, 5 days actually, from Thursday to Monday, I found myself dealing with 10 cases of divorce within 5 days. For half of them were old issues, we dealt with them before, and half of them were new issues. I understand maybe people were waiting. And then when he came back, they start contacting us. That's fine. But I decided to talk about it. حَتَّى نُنَبِّهْ عَلَى خُطُورَةِ الْوَضَعِ So I would like to bring to your attention the severity of this issue in our community. And of course, there are people who misunderstand our message. Because we're not talking about names, we're not talking about families. We don't mean any person, nothing is personal here, but still, we have people who misunderstand the message coming from the minbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to talk about communal issues on the minbar. He would say, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَفْعَلُونَ كَذَا وَكَذَا مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَقُولُونَ كَذَا وَكَذَا Why are some people saying this and this? And he wouldn't mention names. And some people might know whom he's talking about, but he has to talk about it because it has to do with the community, the well-being of the community. And وَمَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَفْعَلُونَ كَذَا وَكَذَا Why are some people doing this and this? So people who are struggling, and we are all struggling as humans because life is not perfect, it will not be perfect for anyone. And family life will never be perfect. Because there are humans who are dealing with each other. You have parents dealing with children or husband and wife dealing with each other. They might have different views. They have different level of education. There are many issues that are there, right? People look at things differently. She's a human being who grew up in a different family. He's another human being, grew up in another family, another environment. They sometimes come together and they form a family with, and they have opposing views. And that's normal. That's normal. When you don't get married, you don't expect your wife to agree with you about anything you say. Anything you say, she will say, yes, yeah, I agree with you. That's fine. That's not possible. Because it was not possible during the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his wife used to have different opinions sometimes, but he was the messenger of Allah and he was very patient and he taught us how to manage and how to deal with these issues. So what we need to do is learn how to manage these affairs. Zero issues, zero problems is not possible in this life. This is what we need to keep in mind. We are people who are being tested on this earth. Perfect life is in Jannah, alhamdulillah. Allah has created Jannah for us. And this is what the ulama said. I mean it here. Life in Jannah is perfect. No problems whatsoever. It's perfect from every angle. There is nothing in Jannah that has a side effect. And Jahannam is the house of pure evil. There is nothing good about Jahannam. Nothing good about hellfire. This is a conclusion that our Muslim scholars have made long time ago, and we find it in the classical sources of knowledge. But this life is good and bad. Allah has promised that He will test us with good and bad. And of course we have to exercise patience, we have to learn how to navigate, we have to learn how to deal with issues and problems. It's all about knowledge and patience, and also hikmah sometimes, wisdom. So ikhwan, again, I confirm this before, because we hear people talking, and I have to confirm it time to time. We're not here to judge people. We are in the business of helping people. We help each other. And the children who are suffering from these issues, they are our children. And if imams do not care about their community, then they shouldn't be leading the community. They should be in this position. They should not be in this position if they don't care about the well-being of the community. And this is why we have to talk about these issues, Ya Ikhwan. Again and again, it doesn't mean that the one who is standing up in front of you is perfect or has a perfect life. Or he's on the top here and everyone is down. No, that's not true. As I said before, my struggle is your struggle. We are all in the same boat. We all want our children to be saved. We all want our children to go to Jannah. We have the same issues. We have the same struggles. We do it together, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And we help one another. This is the purpose of talking about these issues. Now, this is a big issue, Ikhwan. And, you know, when we talk about it, there are many. You can talk about it from different angles. I'm not going to talk today about technical issues, how to deal with each other. What are the principles that we are supposed to use when we are dealing with family affairs? I usually start my counseling with the foundation. And I'll tell you something, this is what I share with the community. I want to share it in this khutbah. I start with the foundation. What is the foundation? Our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I have a better connection with Allah, then I feel, I believe, and you should agree with me, because without His help, without assistance, we cannot achieve anything. We cannot save our marriages. We cannot save our families. Without His help, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why this foundation is very important. Spiritual empowerment. Your connection with Allah. Your relationship with Allah. For both parties, for the whole family. That's why I usually, as I said, start with an email that I share with the community. Whenever they contact me, they said, okay, I'll send you this email, and then we can have a meeting later on, and we can talk about issues. And we can see how we can solve these issues. But I start with an email that has to do with our supplications, our daily prayers, daily routine, how to establish a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spirituality is very important in our life. And of course, when I say spirituality, I don't mean the Western perspective of spirituality nowadays. What I mean is our relationship with Allah, practicing the deen, praying on time, the five daily prayers, doing our sadaqat, doing afkar al-sabah wal-masa, being engaged in your deen. Practicing the deen, making deen your priority, making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the top of the list. On the top of the list. This is very important, ya ikhwan. We're not here because this is part of our culture to be here. We are here because we want to go to Jannah. This is our deen, it's not culture. We're not cultural Muslims. We're Muslims who want to go to Jannah al-Firdaus. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us a messenger that we need to follow his way of life. We need to follow his way of life, ya ikhwan. And most of the things that I share with people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do them on a regular basis, alayhi salatu wa salam. So I usually start this email with a beautiful dua that I believe is the most powerful dua when it comes to family affairs. I'm not going to explain it here, but we talked about it before. Just a reminder to myself and my brothers and sisters that this is a very powerful dua. We talked about it before. It is found in Surah Al-Furqan, Ayah 74. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Our Lord grant us from our spouses and our offspring the coolness of our eyes and make us an example for the people of righteousness, the people of piety. I believe this is a very strong dua. What I believe is that a Muslim who wants to save his family, he should recite this dua on a daily basis. Very simple. On a daily basis. Even if you don't have issues, don't wait for problems to happen. في حديث مشهور للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام من سره أن يستجيب الله له في الشدائد والكرب فليكثر من الدعاء في الرخاء. Whoever wants Allah to answer his dua during times of difficulty and hardship, he should keep making dua during good times. You don't forget Allah when everything is fine. When you don't have no problems, everything, you're happy with your family, you're happy with your business. Don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. احنا مشكلتنا هذه الأيام, our problem these days, when we get very happy, we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially during wedding these days. Janaza also, we get very emotional when someone passes away and we try to just follow cultural practices and forget about the sunnah and what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do during janaza and kada. So when we get emotional, we forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we are very sad or very happy. No, we need to be reasonable, ya ikhwan, and we need to know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do during all times. The second dua that I share with people, and of course the first one in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us it's the habit of Ibad al-Rahman. So from Ayah 61 or 60, he was talking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about, he's talking about the qualities or the character traits of those who are, you know, the best people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them. He called them the servants of the most merciful, Ibad al-Rahman. And he told us about their habits, their dua, their qiyam al-layl, and all these things. And he said one of the things they keep saying this dua, one of their habits is that they keep saying this dua. Go check this ayat by yourself from Ayah 60, 61 in Surah Al-Furqan till the end of the surah. The other dua, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghith, Aslih Li Sha'ni Kullah, Wa La Takilni Ila Nafsi, Tarfat Ayn. This dua, Rasulullah ﷺ told Fatima, his daughter, that you should repeat this dua. It's a very powerful dua. Because there is a possibility that this dua include al-ism al-a'zam. What is al-ism al-a'zam, the greatest name of Allah? It's a name that we are not sure. You know, we don't know exactly which name is.
But there are possibilities. Some ulama, they said Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum could be the name, the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if it is used in our supplication, then Allah will answer our dua. If you use this Al-Ism Al-A'zam, the greatest name of Allah in your dua will be answered. But he didn't tell us exactly which dua. There are some versions, different in different ahadith. One of the possible options is this one, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. But it is enough to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell his daughter Fatima, his beloved daughter, keep saying this dua. Keep saying this dua. Do not forget about this dua. And someone in the community told me, during my crisis, this dua was my best friend. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, O ever living one, O sustainer of all, by your mercy, bi rahmatika astaghith. So you're begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for mercy here. By your mercy, I call on you to set right all my affairs. And this is very powerful because it includes all your affairs, whether you're talking about business, family life, your studies, or anything. Set all my affairs. Set right all my affairs. Do not place me in charge of my soul, even for the blinking of an eye. So this is the second dua. The third habit, which is an amazing habit, is to the habit of reciting Afkar al-Sabah wal-Masa. These Afkar are very powerful, Ya Ikhwan. They are amazing. They're good for rizq. They're good for protection, for good health, good ending. There are some dua there. You're asking Allah for good ending. You don't want to suffer at the end of your life. There are people who suffer at the end of their life. You know, there are people who suffer, and we feel sorry for them. We feel sorry for them. They stay 2 years or 4 years or 3 years, sometimes, in a very bad state. Yani their health is not, they're not able even to help some of them to help themselves. So you want, and also, good ending has a different meaning also. Dying on the shahada of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That is Husn al-Khatima, right? You remember the shahada at the end of your life. This is Husn al-Khatima. So these topics or these subjects are all of them included in this Afkar al-Sabah wal-Masa, and they are found in a small booklet that is well known. Everyone knows about it. Hisn al-Muslim, in English, is the fortress of the Muslim. You can download it. You can order it. They have an app. It's widely available. No one has an excuse. We just have to make the time for these supplications. In the morning after Fajr, the best time is between Fajr and sunrise. And in the evening, the best time for this Adhkar is between Asr and Maghrib. Right? And if you miss this time, it's okay. You can do them in the morning time till Dhuhr. Or in the evening after Isha, it's okay. After Maghrib, after Isha, till midnight, you can still do this dua. Nas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq. Lana wa lakum wa li jami'in muslimin. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفرونه إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. The fourth step, يا أخوان, something that we talked about again before, is that we need to take advantage of winter time. In Calgary, during winter we have long nights, and it's possible. I know it's possible for many people to wake up before Fajr by 1 hour or 2 hours. You can make wudu. That's the best time for du'a. الثلث الأخير من الليل, the last third part of the night, the last third part of the night. Our du'as, supplications are accepted. Our salat, our tasbih, our istighfar are highly rewarded during that time. Actually, in the hadith, in a famous hadith in Bukhari, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say during that time, هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرُ لَهُ. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness? So I forgive him. هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Is there anyone who is asking for something? So I should give it to him. Ya Ikhwan, I know in the summer is difficult to wake up before Fajr in the summers of Calgary. But during winter, we don't have an excuse. Fajr, we pray Fajr here in the masjid at 7 o'clock. It should be easy for most of us to wake up at 5 o'clock or 5:30, 1 hour before, make wudu, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between you and Him, because He is the one who has the power to solve your problems. He is the one who has the power to change the heart of your wife. He has the power to change the hearts of your children. Wallahi, change is possible. There are people who lose hope. And they keep telling some of their children, you're going to go to Jahannam. You are an evil person. You're going to... And then they say, no, I lost hope in this child. I lost hope in this woman. I lost hope in this... Akhi, who are you to judge them? Even if they are your children, don't judge them. Say, oh, children, I have the freedom to talk to them in any way I want. I mean, they're still another human being who deserve Allah's mercy. And you don't want to see them in Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. You're saying it because you are angry, you're upset, and you say, sometimes I don't mean it. Okay, if you don't mean it, then don't use this language. Change it with something else. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as I said, He has the power to change their hearts in a matter of seconds. And we dealt with cases, ya ikhwan, where parents lost hope, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at a certain point of time, He decided to, you know, bless this family, and there was a positive change that happened, and everyone was happy with the change that took place. Number five is al-istighfar, ya ikhwan. Al-istighfar is an amazing cure for our issues and problems. Abdullah ibn Abbas, if I'm not mistaken, him or another Sahabi, but I believe it was Abdullah ibn Abbas, someone told him, came to him with a problem. He said, عليك بالاستغفار. In one majlis, a second one came with a different issue. He said, عليك بالاستغفار. A third one came with a different problem. He said, عليك بالاستغفار. Seek Allah's forgiveness. Seek Allah's forgiveness. So he gave one solution to three people who came to him with three different issues. And every time he would say, seek Allah's forgiveness. And istighfar is amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that He will forgive our sins, increase the number of your children, increase our wealth, bless us with rain if we need rain. So of course, you know, talking about people who were involved in the old days with, you know, agriculture and farming, but rain is needed all the time. Everyone needs rain. So, and you can use any form of istighfar as long as it is prescribed in the sunnah. There is no need to look for weird, sometimes the people look for weird forms of dhikr taken from other people. You leave the sunnah of Rasulullah, and then you're going to look for a dua, a supplication that is made up by someone else. I'm talking about this because I dealt with this issue, Ikhwan. I checked the dua, it's weird. It has words that are not clear. Akhi, you have simple forms of istighfar that are very powerful. مثلاً, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَتُبْ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Using these two names is very efficient, very powerful. التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. I'm reviewing Surah Al-Baqarah these days. In the first juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these two names in a context of tawbah and istighfar in the story of Adam alayhi salam, the story of Musa with Bani Israel, and the story of Ibrahim and his son Ismail. These two names mentioned in these three stories. In the first juz of Surah Al-Baqarah, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Verily you are the accepting of repentance, the merciful. These two names, we are supposed to empower our dua with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-Sami' al-Alim, another two names that are very good for dua, if you want to use them. But At-Tawwab al-Rahim, we're talking about the context of tawbah here. So this is another beautiful form of istighfar. Another one that is famous and mentioned in authentic ahadith. Astaghfirullah al-Azim alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum wa atubu ilayh. I seek the forgiveness of Allah the Great, with whom there is none worthy of worship except Him. Whom there is none worthy of worship except Him. وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ أَنَا الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومِ. You know, the ever-living, the sustainer of all. وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ. And I seek His repentance, or I repent to him. So this form of istighfar is very powerful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, all your sins will be bi-idhnillahi ta'ala forgiven when you use this form of istighfar. You can just use Allahumma ghfirli wa astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi 100 times. That should be fine every morning, every evening. It will take you a few minutes. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi 100 times. Like 3-4 minutes and that's it. And you'll be fine inshallah. Number six, الدعاء للمسلم بظهر الغيب. You know, making dua for other Muslims in their absence without their knowledge. We talked about it again. There is a famous hadith that is in Sahih Muslim, that your dua will be accepted, that Allah will send an angel to you. And this angel, you don't see him, but he's there beside you because you decided to make dua for other Muslims. You decided to become generous and include other Muslims in your dua. And it's a sign that you really care about them. Right? Because you're not making dua in front of them. You're not trying to please them. You're trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign that you really care about your brother, your neighbor, your friend, your community, your brother in the community or your sister. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is accepted, number one. Number two, the angel will say ameen to your dua, and then he will say, walaka bimithl. So the angel will ask Allah, look at this. The angel will ask Allah to give you what you wished for your brother or sister. The angel will make dua for you. Because you decided to make dua for another brother in his absence, the angel will ask Allah to give you what you wished for your brother and sister. An angel making dua for you. You don't make dua for yourself. So basically you're solving your problems by making dua for other Muslims. And this is well documented, as I said, in famous hadith in Sahih Muslim. We talked before about the power of the word Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. You can use it on a daily basis. La hawla wa the power of La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Another dua that I also share with people. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wal-ajzi wal-kasal wal-jubni wal-bukhl wal-dal'i al-dayni. Someone else in the community, he said, this dua was my best friend during my crisis. He said, I had a family crisis, and this dua was my best friend, which means I seek refuge with you. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from worry and grief. اللهم نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن. So الهم, when you worry about the future, what will happen in the future. الحزن is being sad about past events. Something that happened in the past is not there, and you feel bad about it. You feel some pain about it. So you are seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want Allah to relieve you from these feelings. These are negative feelings, right? And from incapacity and laziness. Incapacity is not being able to do things, solve problems. Yani you have the skills, you have maybe money, you have the tools, but you're not able. You don't know how to solve this problem, incapacity. The other one is laziness. You are able to solve your problems, but you don't have the desire to wake up or stand up and do things. So both states are very bad. You don't want these two things, two problems. From miser behavior and cowardice, and from being overcome by debt and overpowered by men. So this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan wal-ajzi wal-kasal wal-jubni wal-bukhl wa dhala'i ad-dayn wa ghalabati ar-rijal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use it sometimes before the salam, after tashahud, after the Ibrahimi salat ala Rasulullah, during our salat, before salam, he would use this dua. And this is a good time actually for dua, a good time when you're ending your salat. Of course, when you're praying with the imam, you'll follow the imam, but when you are doing your nafila, you are the king, you are the boss, you're doing your nafila. You want to do your nafila, two rak'ahs, pray them in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it's your business, right? You can choose whatever dua you want at the end of your salat, and it is your salat, your business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one, I'll end with this one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, da'awat al-makroob. Al-makrub, who is al-makrub? The one who is facing karb. What is karb? Is a huge problem. Ham is a deep issue. Da'awat al-makrub, someone who is like carrying, nas'Allah salama wa al-afiyah, a big ham. Da'awat al-makrub. Allah, Allahu Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. Very simple, yet very powerful, because you're confirming your belief in the oneness of Allah. And that's the best way. The best way to approach dua and seek Allah's help. You confirm most of the powerful, most powerful supplications, they include tawheed, declaration of faith. Or you confirming your belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here it means Allah, Allah is my Lord. La ushriku bihi shay'a, I do not associate anything with him. You're confirming your belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the first step in any process. In any process we seek through help and we seek relief from hardship. Nas'al Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq al-jami'. اللهم اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم ارحم ضعفنا واجبر كسرنا يسر أمرنا وردنا جميعا إلى كتابك وسنة نبيك عليه الصلاة والسلام ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار